Got your Bible this morning. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 126. I don't think I have the words to express or say the joy and excitement that's been in my heart this week after witnessing our homecoming of our troops that went to Peru. The happiness, the joy, the peace and contentment that I saw in some was awesome. You know, the laughter and the fellowship that the closeness that they grew together in just a few short days was amazing to me. And what God could do in them and their hearts and their lives. And I began to think and say, you know, Lord, how do you say thank you to them for what they've done? And bringing our church that much closer together. And as we look at things and see things that need to be done, improvements that can be made, the people that need to be reached, all these things, all that excitement come out of Peru, you know, but there's just that much excitement waiting to be dealt with right around us here in this community. And I've always called Bexley a sleeping giant, and that one day Lord's going to open them doors up and allow people come to know him as Lord and Savior. But I want to share with you a promise that God made to Christian workers. The people just like this team that went to Peru gave their time, their talent, their money, pay their ways to go and share the good news of Jesus way down in South America and Peru, you know, and what's happening in their lives. And so David, probably, rather it was Ezra, if I remember correct, that penned this particular chapter of Psalms. And what he was dealing with and what he was saying in this was for 70 years, the Gentile had been in captivity down there in Pamela. They were pretty free to go and do as they pleased, but they were still prisoners. They were still on house arrest. They still had limitations on what they could do. And after 70 years, God promised them that he was going to release them, you know, and he's going to free them to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, do all the things that were necessary. The walls had to be replaced. There's just a whole lot to be done. But everybody didn't want to go back home. Everybody didn't want to. And as much as we try to reach every, you know, we'll get some doors slammed in our face. We'll get some negative responses and stuff. But that shouldn't discourage us, you know. It shouldn't do just the opposite. It should encourage us to do what the Lord wants us to do in our hearts and our lives. But out of this, three things happened. They were fulfilling prophecy here in Israel and in their history. They were also dealing with the prophecy of the Lord's ministry. He was talking about things in here that one day the Lord was going to come and they're looking for the Messiah and what he was doing for them in their hearts and their lives and where he wanted them to be and all that he was talking to them about. But the one thing that the Lord commissioned all of us to do, he said for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Brother Ernie's testimony a while ago of how he went to the doctor and meets a man that's handing out tracts. And what's happening in his heart this life concerning them. That was his testimony. 70-something years old, brother. And what he couldn't do now, he did what he could do. And being a witness and handing out those cards. But you know this will be possible if the 17 individuals took that which the Lord had commanded us to do. Go forth. Go forth. And when you talk about going forth, it's talking about progressing forward, going beyond your expectations. I listened before you left, and I heard anticipation of, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I don't know how I'm going to be scared. Teresa was, she said, you know, you didn't know what you were going to face, but whatever it was, with God's help, you knew you'd make it through. And the things that you was doing. Now, watch what he does here in Psalms 126. Church, you pay close attention because we were the sponsors behind them. They said, but when the Lord turned again, the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. They thought it was just too good to be true. You know, I think the benefits that the team got off of this trip to Peru, as well as the benefit of what they brought home to us, and the benefit of knowing that Luke come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, way down in Peru, you know? It's all a part of God's plan and what he has determined in us. And he said, when the Lord turned away again the captivity of Zion, when they were released after 70 years, no more house arrest, they could go and they could do as they pleased. Now, in that 70 years, some of them got established. And they'd already built their homes. They already had their security there. They just chose to stay in Babylon. You know, a lot of people that way today, you know, they living in captivity, living in the arms of Satan and letting him dictate to their hearts and their lives. But here they said, the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, and it was unto them as if they were having a dream. Then was our mouths filled with laughter. I heard a lot of that went on. And our tongues were singing. That same 17 got up here and sang for us last Sunday morning, didn't it? Yep. Then said they among the heathens. Uh-oh. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord have done great things for them. Now I believe every one of those 17, wasn't that how many was on the team?
Yeah.
I believe the Lord's going to show us what great things he did for them. What are you going to do for others that'll allow him in their hearts and rise? But the first thing we got to do, we got to go forward. We got to put ourselves in a position that the Lord would have us to do. Second thing, we have that success, what the Lord wants us to do. And the promise he made to us about being a Christian leader is we got to have a passion for souls. We got to want to see. And I believe the team got a great response out of that, seeing how the people reacted to them and came to deal with them in their hearts and their lives. And old Job, David, Joseph, you can pick out any of those three if you wanted to. It wasn't easy for them to do. Let's just take Joseph. What would you have thought about Joseph? There, he come along late in life after his brothers had grown and gone and father's telling them what to do and how to do and where to be and all those things that was going on in their life. Joseph was just living the life of leisure. He just had it made, boy. And he's a special child, his mom, all those things, you know. But his brothers despised him. His own bud, Ken, despised him. They're going to get rid of him, destroy him. Finally, luckily, he had one brother that took up for him, kept him from doing that, and they threw him in that pit. That caravan come along, they drug him out of that pit, sold him. He went all the way down into Jerusalem there. What was God doing? He's moving Joseph from where he was to where he wants you to be. Now, I'm saying here that he's going to move his 17 to Peru. And I'm not going to allow that. It's mighty lonely in his Sunday before last when y'all were all missing, you know. A lot of empty pews and things for us. But he said here, then they said among the heathens, the Lord had done great things for them. I venture to say, if you never had an opportunity to go on that trip and you hadn't experienced what you experienced down there, I don't think that you would ever know what it was like. Till you go and you experience it for yourself. You know, I read a little story about General Booth. And General Booth, they were in the heat of battle and the war was furious. And there's a messenger came to General Booth and told him and said, one of the officers said that the work was so hard that he could make no progress. The general replied with a telegram, try tears. Listen to what the Lord says here. The Lord had done great things for us. We are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall what? Reap in joy. They can sow in tears. I've heard of many tears that were shed. But they wouldn't. You know, there's two different kinds of tears. I understand the man. Tears of sorrow and tears of joy. This was tears of joy in the lives of these individuals to go out and do what the Lord would have them to do. But what was their responsibility? What were they supposed to do? Sow the seed. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The seed is a precious, precious thing. But you know, I can have a 50-pound bag of seed of any sort, whatever you might be planting. But as long as it stays in that seed, stays in that sack, what good is it? Ain't gonna do no, what do you gotta do? You gotta sow it. It's got to have water. It's got to have fertilizer. It's got to become what the Lord wants it to be in their lives. But the seed must be sown. And it's not the truth we know, but the truth that we sow that bears fruit. You hear me? Not the seed that we sow, but the things that we know that bears fruit concerning those things. But the Christian worker, and this is where I wanted to get to, has a great assurance. He knows that he will, without a doubt, come again. Look at verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When I got Brother Ernie's order of worship, and he had the invitation down as save, save, save. You know, I was tempted to call him and say, could you change something? Could the invitation be bringing in the sheaves? You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, reaching out to the. How do we do that, Brother Larry? If we're going to know the joy of a harvest, then we're going to have to be successful. You know, one of the sad things that leave your Christian life for years and years and not have one soul to carry before the Lord. You used to sing a little song, Shady Girl, I can't remember the words to it, but it's course, said something to the effect that, must I meet my Savior? Not one soul with him to play. Must I meet my Savior? So listen what he says here. He that goeth forth and weepeth. In other words, he's saying here that there are tears of joy bearing precious seed. What's the precious seed? It ain't wheat. It ain't corn. It's sinner saved by grace. He said, he that goeth forth and weepeth beareth precious seed and shall doubtless. What does doubtless mean to you? Not a moment's hesitation. What did God tell us about that? His word will not return unto us void. And he also said, your labor is not in vain. The sacrifices you made, the things that you did, things that you probably never thought you were capable of doing, you did. And what he's telling us here, that without a doubt, when Jesus comes again, there'll be rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him. Years ago, as I was standing in line for a person that had passed away at the funeral home, and there at Sigrid's, the steps went up. We had come from way out in the parking lot as some well-known individual. Can't even remember who it was, but I can remember what happened. As we was edging up, as the crowd was making its way through the funeral home and stuff, the individual pulled on my shirt, and I looked around. I didn't know the gentleman. And he said, you're Larry Hebert, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you preached my grandma's funeral. And I said, I did? He said, yeah. He said, I live at Lumberton, Mississippi. He said, but my grandmother passed away over here, and said, I was a pallbearer in her funeral. And said, you told me about Jesus and what I needed to do. And he said, I went home and I couldn't turn it loose. I kept hearing those words over and over again. And he said, Sunday morning, I went to church. First time I'd been to church with my wife, except on Easter or something special. Next Sunday, I went back. He said, today I'm a saved man because the seed that you sowed, somebody else got to put the water there. Somebody else gathered the fruit. Hallelujah. You know, and he said, I didn't know that I'd ever get to see you again this side of heaven. And I just want to thank you. Just want to thank you. When we stroll down that street or go, we don't know who we may rub shoulders with. That'll say to us, you know, way back there in late May, early June, down in Peru where I lived, you Mississippian boys and girls came down there and told me about Jesus. Gave me a little pamphlet, you know. All in all, he said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, goeth forth not out of a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of love, bearing precious seed. What's that precious seed? If word of God, it shall doubtless, without a doubt, come again with rejoicing. This team come home rejoicing, did they? Were excited. What? Just think what it's going to be like when the Lord calls us home, when we stand in with him. Doubtlessly, when he comes again, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Bringing his sheaves. What are his sheaves? The redeemed, the saved, the bride of Christ. What they've done in his heart is life. You know that. We'll plan to carry it out. Mission prayer. The votes we got to miss it right around. Only challenge you to do something. Part of my invitation. We're going to come back here 2 weeks and we're going to hear the joy and the excitement and stuff. I hope the fires ain't burnt out of that short time. It's going to come back and they're going to share. You know, every one of you, 17, and all of us, know somebody that needs oil. And we ain't got time to go brooding on them up. All we got to do is go out to the doors and look around. Look around. What would we see? People need the oil. It might surprise you in your heart and your life what they're doing. Who's just sitting there waiting? Say, I was praying somebody would come by and help me. Will you pass them by? Or you with it? And we make a contact in 2 weeks to bring somebody leave the Lord. Let them see the joy and the excitement and concern in the hearts and lives of individuals. Reading I told you in the beginning of the announcements and stuff. Put on what? The big pot and the little dish. You know why I told you that? I'm expecting great things.
Amen.
I'm expecting great things. Are you? What? How much more joy can you have than to know that you brought somebody in the church to come to know Jesus? Is that what I'm saying? Are you visiting somebody in home or at the hostel or wherever? You know, we don't know what. I didn't have a clue about that name from Lomington. I would have never known if we, our paths had to cross at the funeral home. And he come and he said to me, you preach my grandma's funeral. Ain't even remember who she was now. But I can tell you this, we don't ever know when we're glad to see what the harvest is going to be.
Amen.
But we got the promise that his word would not come back more. It'll bear fruit.
It'll bear fruit.
Would you pray with me? Father, as you come to the time now, sir, it's a challenge just for to get them. That all of us will put forth an effort in the next 2 weeks to reach out to somebody that we know that needs the Lord. Make contact with them. Let them know we love them, we care about them, we're praying for them. And they will bless our hearts if they come to church with you. Might be surprised when the results you get from just a simple invitation. Show us what we needed and who those individuals are. Give us the courage to go do it and say, I love you. I'm praying for you. Would you go to church over this summer? You might be surprised. What did they say in 4:1? They were rejoicing. Ooh, you know you're in the blessed, most blessed person or no. Did you lead somebody in the right direction, don't you? Guide you to our hearts, to our desires. Show us the parts you have us to do. Give us the courage to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.